You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael, Don, and Peter with you. Don showing a commitment that is rare in this world today. Flew in this morning just because he wanted to press the flesh here at the Rutherford. And then he's going to fly right out to do the game in Pittsburgh.
What's the dinner plan, Don? You eat at the airport? Hope you get in, get a little time.
They got nice stuff at Newark.
Yeah. I'm going to eat at the airport for sure.
Like a gentleman?
Like a gentleman.
Sit down at the bar, perhaps?
I got to tell you, I think dining alone is very underrated.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I don't mind it. He used to kill me when I'd go to the movies alone.
I do think that was all. It was bad for his brand.
Listen, I've done it. I do think it's fun.
Yeah,
But Don's not wrong that optically, like, dinner alone isn't the best optic. Movie alone is, you know, you're one step from the late, great Paul Rubens. I mean, it's just not what you want.
Wait a minute. Michael was not seeing those types of.
Right.
It's the worst rap of all time. Well,
honestly, but let's be honest. If that's the movie you're going to see, you should go alone.
Absolutely. But you realize.
Well, you should look into streaming.
Well, no. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
That story followed him for so long. And in retrospect, I mean, I never went to a theater like that. I'm too young. But excuse me, is that really news that that's what's happening in that movie theater? That's why the theater exists.
It's more of a referendum on him, not the theater. But they did honor.
I disagree. It's a referendum on an existing. The people who are showing up are going to do what they're there to do.
Now, he was honored in memoriam at the Academy Awards.
Yes.
So he got up from it.
No. Well,
so you know who you know
they get up from.
There had to be a better word choice than what you used, but
well. You know who they forgot? I looked. I searched. I didn't see any complaining about it. But they did forget an actress.
Who?
Suzanne Summers.
Well, she's more TV.
Well, but she was in American Graffiti.
Excellent point.
Wait. And you're sure? You paid attention the whole time?
Yeah.
Sure.
First of all, it was the worst in memoriam.
It was. No, listen, the music.
They had people dancing, and you couldn't even see the names
But that was the problem. I had no with the Iglesias singing, Father and Son. It was well done, but not
Iglesias?
The expense of seeing.
It wasn't Iglesias.
No, who was it again?
It was the opera song.
Andrea Bocelli.
It was Andrea Bocelli.
Oh, my goodness.
I know? It's a made song.
I really honestly thought up until this second.
That was
yes.
Julio and Enrique Iglesias?
Yes, that's what I really thought.
It's lost.
Singing the famed opera song?
Trying to say goodbye.
How am I supposed to know opera?
Well, you know that Julio Iglesias.
It's not Enrique's.
But you could see.
You confuse that song with I Could Be Your Hero, Baby?
Yes. But anyway, it came at the expense. And maybe I would think that Suzanne Summers wouldn't get just a throw-in with cinematographers. I mean, she should be able to get video. I did not see her, no.
I just don't understand why
people
were
dancing.
What
movies were Matthew Perry was in?
Oh, he was in a lot.
I'm asking.
Fools Rush In.
Oh, yeah, a lot. He had a bunch. Amongst Friends.
Yeah, Fools Rush In.
Fools Rush In. The one with Chris Farley.
Like a bunch.
Almost Heroes.
Yeah. I was going to say a bunch. You mentioned
the famous one with Bruce Willis. What was that? What was the one with Bruce Willis that people loved? The Matthew Perry vehicle with Bruce Willis. I guarantee you liked it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's a good movie.
But you know, American Graffiti's not nothing.
No, it's not.
It's big. It's more. What was that, Anthony?
Is it The Whole Nine Yards?
Yes.
Whole
Nine Yards, a great film.
So just back off on Matthew Perry, okay?
No,
he deserved
I'm just
to be
trying
in that.
To, but you, I'm just retorting what you said. Well, she was known more for television. Matthew Perry was known more for television, and they still honored him. Why not little Suzanne Summers? Come on.
No, he's right. He's absolutely what you're saying is the truth, and people should be ashamed.
In memoriam, always very awkward. And like at Yankee Old Timers Day, I'm the one who has to read the people that have passed away.
Why do you got to read it? People know how to read. Can't you just put it on the Jumbotron?
No, they want to read.
No, I don't think it's right.
Okay.
Because that puts you in an awkward position.
Why?
God forbid if you mispronounce a name.
Oh, it's awful.
You know,
it's a lot of pressure. But one of the funniest lines during that time, everybody's lined up on the first base, third base line, and this was like 15, 20 years ago. and they're doing the, you know, in memoriam. And Yogi turns to, I think it was Reggie. So I never want to see myself, my name up that on that list.
That's on brand.
What do you mean it's on brand?
I mean, that's something he would say, right?
Yeah, and you know what? He never saw himself up there.
Oh, that is very on brand.
But
yeah.
But that, strong. Listen, I don't want to insult anybody.
Please don't.
But I don't think you should have to read it. People can read. People know. You put the name up.
So I'm going to say, all right, please stand and moment of silence and go read these names.
No, because...
What are there people in the stands that don't have sight?
Well, they do it at the... they didn't say their names at the Oscars.
No.
Well, but Peter, you can't play music and then put a picture and the year that they passed, the how old they were, or the year that they played for the Yankees.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, really? Come on.
All right, so we're here outside the Garden, and a lot of people think that the win over Seton Hall gets St. John's in.
I think so.
In and at large. I think they probably are. But like if they say, okay, Michael, you have to bet your life on this, I don't know if I'd go that far. And here's why. If you look at the Atlantic 10, which is taking place in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, the top four seeds in the Atlantic 10, they're out. Mm. So the teams that are left over now, none of those four teams is supposed to go to the NCAA.
So that's a slot.
It's a killer slot. It's a robbery slot. Somebody is going to get an automatic bid that would not have gone to the dance. That's going to take away from somebody. Maybe St. John solves it all by beating UConn and winning tomorrow and winning the tournament, and
that
then, boom,
matter.
You've got an automatic bid. But Seton Hall was on the bubble, and maybe that loss yesterday hurts them because of what's happening in Brooklyn and in other tournaments around the country. You can't have upsets where you know the number one seed in the conference is going to make it as an at-large, because that means that a team that wasn't going to make it is going to make it, and that's going to steal something from a team that deserves to make it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Now, all right, let's say they lose tonight, but they hang. Lose by a handful of points.
I don't
They're
know.
In it, lead,
I think
late.
You got to win.
No, well, I think a win gets them over the top. I think the win against Seton Hall, it felt like it would be enough. But, listen, there's people that know a lot more about it than I do, and there's always teams that feel like they're going to get robbed. I would think a St. John's fan would be red hot if they don't get in.
Well, right now we look at it and say, the people I project say that Seton Hall still might be in as one of the four. First four, you know, as it goes to 68. And that St. John's is actually in the field of 64. We'll see.
Yeah.
I just don't like to say, for you know, it's a sure thing. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ken in Connecticut. Ken.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How
What's
you
up?
Not too bad. So my main point was about Gerrit Cole, but real quick on Marcus Stroman, I have no idea what other profession in life where your two bosses might approach you and say, oh, hey, I want you to do this. And say, you know what? I'm okay.
Ken, it's different. I can't picture many people that, you know what? He's a guy with conviction. And if he feels that if you get him out of his thing, he's not going to pitch well, he's going to say it. He believes in his process.
Here's what I'll say. Pitching is different than any other position in any other sport. I think it's very much creature of habit. And he might be actually answering the question for what's best for the Yankees. Listen, if I stay in my routine, I'll be that much better in the start I'm supposed to make. And then maybe selfishly wanting to be able to pitch on opening day at the stadium and feels like maybe I won't be at my best if I pitch against Houston on opening day, and then it hurts the Yankees. Why does it have to be a negative? Why can't it be they're asking him and he's honestly telling them, I don't know if it's best for you guys if I do that?
And again, to the brilliant point Don made earlier.
Tone.
We don't know how it's framed.
Well, we're thinking about you starting. What are your thoughts on that? You know what? I'd rather... You know, stay with what I'm doing and
but
go
maybe
ready.
He said,
for,
can I be honest? I know this is a little awkward. I actually prefer not to.
And maybe he said,
and they go, don't worry about it. All right, we don't want you to.
Maybe he said, I'll do it if you want.
But I think in other sports, you know, whether it's a football player, you know, can you give me another couple of downs? Can you rush the ball a couple of more times? Basketball, give me a few more minutes. Hockey, give me a few more shifts. I really need you. Then, of course, you're going to say yes. But pitching's about mechanics. Pitching's about feel. And if he honestly doesn't think he'd be at his best in that situation, would it be so wrong for him to say no, especially when he's asked the question? Now, if they tell him, listen, you got to start on opening day, we really need you, then that's a bad job. But if he's given the option and he's answering honestly, again, I don't know. We're making it up. We don't know what the tone was. We don't know how he was asked. I think it's unfortunate that this was all leaked out. And people that don't like him, people that think he's a nozzle, are going to side one way. I'm putting everything else aside from the past, and I don't think it's that awful if you say what you think is best for you and what you think is best for the team if you say I don't want to go.
Let's go to Richard in Manhattan.
Richard.
How about that?
Oh, come on.
Rich.
Michael, Don, Pete, I got one for each of you quickly.
Okay.
Michael, yours. Walter Berry, his last game at then called Alumni Hall, 1987. The fans started chanting at the end of the game. It was Senior Day, the last game of the year. One more year, one more year. Do you remember that? That was the first time that chant was ever.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Imagine that. Don, this is yours. Last Saturday, listen to the game, the St. Louis game, you and Dave. The first period, the referees weren't sure, that slashing penalty. You called it, and I love the interplay. Dave says, Don, you should go down to the ice and start making the calls. And then you quickly said to him, Dave, you'll start criticizing me here up at the booth. I can't do it. I thought that was great.
Oh, thank you.
You guys were great. Okay, Peter, this is for you. Oh, this is a little longer. Marcus Stroman. Would you say the opening game of the Major League season is the same as the opening game of the World Series, Peter?
No, I would not.
Oh, you would? Okay, well, all right. Would you say that Marcus...
Who would ever say that, Richard?
Well,
The opening game of the World Series is not...
The opening game of the World Series is unbelievably important.
That's the most...
opening game is one of 162.
Okay, so find me the person who says
it's the same.
Peter, okay, so we're saying Marcus Stroman wants to pitch in front of his family, correct?
Okay, sure.
Okay. Yeah. 58 and a half years ago, a guy named Sandy Koufax wouldn't pitch the first game of the World Series.
Yeah, that was all
Richard, come on. Thank you, Richard. Take the weekend for yourself. Take the weekend off. He's actually putting equal of Marcus Stroman saying, I don't want to pitch because I want to stay in my workout routine, to a guy who wouldn't pitch because it was Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Richard kind of lost it. Friday,
well, maybe
he's
maybe
tired.
He had a way to tie it in, but so it far started, it was off to a bad
it
start.
It started out so well.
Oh, my. That was one of his worst calls ever.
I enjoyed it.
I think I've told you, you always get sick when I tell you the story. So Don Drysdale started that game and got absolutely pulverized. And Walter Alston came out, and he's taking the ball from him and going to the bullpen. And Drysdale looks at Walter Alston and goes, bet you wish I was Jewish.
See, that's witty. I missed Don Drysdale.
Yeah, he was great. Great pitcher, great guy. Big East tournament going on.
That's right.
And we thank Schweppes for helping support the show. And one of our representatives from Schweppes is a former great UConn player on their all-century team. That's a nice thing to throw around when you're at a bar. It's Chris Smith. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing awesome.
Yeah?
And I want to thank Schweppes for having me here as well.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Very cool. We should crack open a ginger ale. So is there any way that St. John's beats UConn today? Like, UConn is so good, Chris.
They're good. They're really, really good. Hurley's a great coach, and he's got these guys believing that they can win and beat anybody in the country. Patino's a great coach as well. He's got some tough guards. I love the way he plays. He pushes the ball. They have a chance to win tonight, but I'm UConn. I'm blue. I'm blue blood.
Of course. You
know? Aside from coaching, what makes UConn so good?
Well, you know, the family atmosphere. We have a really good family atmosphere. The ex-players are always around, talking to the guys, making sure that they know you're coming to a place of championships. And those guys get it. You know, they really do get it. And the management is excellent at UConn. And we make sure that they're ready to play.
You know, I look at UConn, and I'm kind of amazed at that they've been so good for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris, they're in Storrs, Connecticut. That's not exactly Manhattan. And they get great players to come there.
Yeah.
They get great players to buy in, whether it be Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ollie won a championship, and then obviously Hurley as well. What's in the water in Storrs that –
It's the milk, man. We got the.
You think it's the milk?
It's got to be that. It's got to be the milk.
It's the milk, man. We got the ice cream up there. And we say, hey, look, we got the best ice cream in the country. But besides that, it's the coaching and it's the culture. It's the atmosphere. It's the ex-players, the Ray Allens, the Kimball Walkers, those guys, you know, myself. We're always up there. We're always talking to the guys, and that's just key. And they make sure that the older guys are visible, and they let the young guys know, you know, this is a great place to play. And if you play well here, you have a chance to go pro and play on a pro level.
So. I'll tell you what, that's so important because just being around the Yankees in spring training, they bring down all the former players like Willie Randolph and Ron because they want them to pass along what it's all about. I think that works. It really does.
It really does. It works. And all the guys are on board. I mean, all the old players are always around talking to the guys and making sure that they're motivated and that they're focused. Because, look, the next thing is the professional level. And, you know, you get to the professional level, anything can happen, you know.
It's a really interesting when you think about UConn and you think about all the illustrious programs that exist in professional and college sports. I don't know that UConn gets the credit it deserves for just how high up we're talking
it's
about.
Kinda, it's like Duke.
Everyone will think about Duke in that conversation first, but you guys are sort of the less annoying Duke. I mean, you're always around.
We are, I tell you. Everybody thinks about the Dukes, the Kansas, the North Carolinas. We bleed blue as well. You know, we have a really good team. Calhoun started this thing, winning the first championship, Rip Hamilton and all those guys. So when you think of championship-level play, you got to think about UConn along with the Dukes and the Kentuckys and the Kansas team.
So you were in, like, the glory days of the Big East. Now, the Big East is still a really big conference, but it's completely different. Does it have a little bit of a different feel for you?
It does. It has a different feel.
No Syracuse, it's weird.
I miss that, man.
Yeah.
No Syracuse.
I think they miss it, too.
Hey, I tell you, when I was coming up, I almost went to Syracuse. I was telling the guys, Billy Owens was a really, really good friend of mine, and I came home, and I said, I'm going to Syracuse, a great place. Wanted to play for Boeheim, and my mother went to all my games. She said, there's no way you're going to Syracuse. There's no way I can get up there and watch you play.
So you're from Connecticut.
I'm from Connecticut, and I ended up going to UConn. And
did Billy Owens forgive you?
Yeah, that's my friend. He did believe. Yeah,
but Jim Boeheim didn't. Because Jim could carry a grudge.
Yeah, they ended up doing well, though.
Was it a tough phone call to make?
It was very tough. I mean, that's a great school, great coach. Like I said, Billy was a good friend of
mine. Wait, so what exact years were you there?
I was there from 88 to 92.
So 88 to 92, does that include the brutal upset tournament year?
Yes.
That against the Nadav NFL?
Yes, and then Christian Laettner hit the shot and beat us to go to the Final Four.
That bothered you too, Peter, probably more than Chris.
Wait, was it Tate George?
Tate George hit the shot against Clemson.
Hit the shot against Clemson in the first round?
Yes, in the first round.
And then you make it in the same tournament,
exactly.
and then you guys suffer the same fate to Laettner at the end.
With Duke, yes.
If you had to do something again, would you cover the inbounds?
Exactly. I don't know why we didn't cover the inbound. That was crazy, but I'll tell you guys a funny story. I ended up getting drafted by Minnesota Timberwolves with Laettner.
Right.
So I played 3 years with Laettner, and every day in practice he teased me. But he always said he thought we had a better team then. From man to man, he said, I thought you guys would win that game. And we did win that game, but it was 2 seconds left, and he's Laettner.
And he's perfect that day. He was literally perfect that day.
Yeah, he was
good. Is that a tough one to forget about? Like, does it end up playing in your head as the years go on? Or
it does, because that was our chance to really make it to the Final Four. That was our chance to play an unbelievable team in UNLV at that time, and because that was the team of my years. The UNLV was the team to beat, and we really wanted to get there and try to play those.
It also speaks to how incredible this tournament is, though, because you can have a year like that where the same team can go through the highest highs where you win by buzzer beater and you survive and then suffer the exact same
thing.
It's an incredible thing over the course of a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's like a lifetime.
And that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. You just never know what's going to happen. You never know what team is going to play, and then you never know what team is going to win. So that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament.
And then you get drafted by Minnesota. Yeah. I think they were, in their second or third year of existence?
About four or five years.
What was that like?
That was nice. We had a pretty good team. Well, not a really good team. We had the young Laettner. We had J.R. Ryder at the time, Chuck Person. We were a young team, but it was exciting. I was a young man in my 20s playing in the NBA, flying first class, and, beautiful time.
I've never asked anyone this. What was the Rifleman like? Give me Chuck Person. This is an aging Chuck. This is towards the end, Chuck Person.
When he left Indiana, he came to us. Chuck was a great guy. I mean, he was a father figure to me. He was a great guy in practice, but by the time we got Chuck, he was about 200 pounds over.
I didn't remember the way it was going.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, a lot of people say that you are the most significant recruit that Calhoun had to keep a great player from Bridgeport home. I mean, I know you're going to be modest, but you think that you're a significant recruit for what's happened to UConn?
I tell you, I grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut. We had some great players. Charles Smith right behind me grew up in Bridgeport, ended up going to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Wes Matthews ended up going to Wisconsin. John Bagley from Bridgeport. So we had a lot of talent. We had a lot of guys from Bridgeport and Connecticut that ended up shipping off and going to other places. By me going to UConn, I tell you, Calhoun called me the other day, and he said, congratulations on being the legend for the Big East tournament. He said, I'm going to tell you, I was the jet, but you were the fuel for this program.
A nice phone call.
So, you know, I just was – that was amazing for me.
But he shouldn't take any of the credit. It was obviously your mom.
Well, he's going to take the credit.
What's it like – I mean, what I've interviewed Calhoun, and he's intense. He's funny, but he also looks like he could be a screamer. What kind of coach was he?
He was tough.
Yeah.
He was probably the toughest coach I've been around. He was definitely a screamer.
Mm-hmm.
He was in your face. The things that he did, I can't even talk about it on radio right now, but because today you will get fired.
Right.
Some of the things that these coaches did in the past. But it was an effective way to get us to play well. We all loved him. We all loved playing hard for him. And we won some games.
You know, Hurley's a bit of a screamer, too.
He's a screamer. He's tough. And that's why the UConn nation loves her.
This is the pedigree. So what's going on in there? You know, you have people actually saying UConn versus the field. Like, they're that kind of a heavy favorite. What kind of burden is that for them as they go into a game tonight in a hostile environment and so many expectations?
I mean, I don't want to brag, but they've been in this position for a long time now. They've been number one and number two or number three. They're ready for it. You know, we build these guys up to be ready for this situation right here. You know, we want to win a championship, and that's all we're looking for is winning championships. Yeah. Without nothing less.
And I probably misspoke hostile environment because you guys draw at the guard.
Yeah. This is our home. This is our home. You know, we love playing here. My first Big East championship was against Syracuse here. That was the first Big East championship that UConn won. So that was a huge factor for us. And ever since then, it's been our hometown.
Now, I think, you know, you're the all-time leading scorer at UConn.
Yeah.
I think that's safe because anybody that's good enough to score that many points, they're not staying 4 years.
They're not staying 4 years, exactly. When I tell everybody when I played, Alonzo Mourning stayed 4 years. Dikembe stayed 4 years.
Patrick
stayed 4 years. Now, if you're scoring 18 points a game, the NBA want to gobble you up and take you. So, you know, I want somebody to beat the scoring title.
I really do.
It's been 35 years.
Oh, but I'd want it. I'd root against somebody.
No,
I'd break their ankle, man.
It's been 35 years.
Oh, my God.
I would love to see a kid take it.
Really?
Oh, this is called the
he's a good person.
This is called class.
Then
there's you.
You're right.
All right. I'm going to ask you a hard one, though, but it's the right conversation for Big East Day UConn game. Give me the starting five, the all UConn team.
Wow, that's a tough one. Donyell Marshall. Mm. Got to go with Danielle. Got to go with Emeka Okafor, Ray Allen, Love Kimba, and probably Richard Hamilton.
You're leaving yourself off.
Leaving yourself off the team.
Leaving myself off.
Wow, that's impressive.
Definitely leaving myself off.
Now, you are classy. Now, Peter here hates Duke. I mean, with a burning passion.
Yes.
So I'm sure he wants me to ask you this. You played with Leitner.
Yeah.
Good guy, bad guy. Was he annoying?
Great guy.
Really?
Great guy.
See, Peter?
Hold on. No, Let's wait.
Great with the players.
Uh-huh.
Terrible with management. Coaching's management, he just didn't like it. He wanted to do his own thing, but that's what made him so great. But with the players, we had a great time with Leitner.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Changing your opinion out here?
No, not at all. In fact, I met Leitner. I was in the Leitner documentary,
right?
And they invited me to the premiere, and I met Leitner and Grant Hill, and all the Dukies were there, and everyone's he was exactly what I thought. He was friendly enough, but he had an edge to him.
He's got an edge.
I heard what you said in the documentary. Yeah. I don't think it's funny. And he had a little bit of, especially next to Grant Hill, who is one of the sweeter athletes that you'll meet.
Yeah.
You know, Christian's got some edge to him.
Well, you're hateable, too.
That may be it. Maybe you just hated my face. We spent a lot of time talking about the court storming thing and the Filipowski thing. Of course, my angle is I blame Filipowski. But this was not really a huge thing when you were playing.
But
in the 10 years after, when I was in school, closer to 2000, it became a thing. Is it problematic? How problematic is it?
I think it's problematic. I mean, these are players. They're coming on there. First of all, these guys practice every single day, 2 to 3 hours a day. Their bodies are already beat up, and then they play a game for 2 hours, and then you have somebody come down and run on the floor and may hit your knee or may hit your ankle. I think it's problematic. I really think they have to take control of that situation and help the players feel more safe.
Chris, let's give Schweppes one more pop before you leave.
Oh, love Schweppes. I want to thank these guys for having me out. Always a great time. My man Eddie's sitting over there right there from Schweppes, and hopefully we can continue to do this every single year.
Chris, thank you for dropping by. Yeah. Really
thank
fun.
Good stuff, man. Thank
Chris
you.
Smith,
good luck.
The top scorer in the history
thank you.
That's
of
right.
UConn. That's right. Jump yeah. into spring at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle and take advantage of special lease and finance offers on C, E, and GLC class vehicles. American Express card holders can take advantage of additional incentives on most models. Choose from sedans or SUVs, gas or electric. They've got a car for everyone. Visit the showroom or start the process online at mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know who sings this, right, Peter? The Iglesias.
It's Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah, and his son.
You can see the logic.
No, I can't.
No, it's...
Yes, you can.
Love.
What am I supposed to know? I know the song. I don't know who sings it.
Say goodbye. Oh, we can't sing 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have to pay.
I gotta tell you, I can't wait
till Cannibal Corpse performs, and you guys don't know, and I make fun of you.
You know what?
I don't think Cannibal Corpse is actually going to do the In Memoriam sequence.
You don't know.
That would be interesting. It would make sense. Cannibal and Corpse. Yeah, but Andre Bocelli, yeah.
Andrea.
See?
That's what I say.
Andre.
I said Andrea.
Andrea. You dropped the A.
So we all don't know.
The Yankees have made a decision. They've made an announcement.
Right.
And all you do is listen to the show. I get you through everything.
Yeah.
Who did I say was going to end up starting opening day? He probably forgot.
I believe you said Nasty Nestor.
That's who's starting opening
You
day.
Know everything, don't you?
Well,
no, because I just know that of all those people – if, like, Nestor Cortez pitched 3 hours ago, and you say, hey Nestor, opening day is 7 o'clock.
Right.
We'd like it. Okay, I'll do it. I mean, that's just who he is. So, I mean, that made the most sense.
It did. So you're making a comment then on Stroman.
No. I don't know Stroman other than on what I've known of him on social media.
Not good.
He is a guy who looks like he is a prisoner of his process.
Right.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think Nestor Cortez wings it. His whole career is about winging it.
And you know, Mike Mussina strikes me as a guy that might also.
He would have said no.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's a good call. Yeah. He might have said no.
So at what point do we get to kill the Jets for not being able to move Zach Wilson? When's that going to happen?
Well, how could you kill them?
Because
I mean, maybe he's unmovable.
That's what I mean. But that's what you got to kill him for. Not only was he incapable of being good on your team,
Don, we're watching everybody. Trey Lance is getting jobs. Kenny Pickett's getting jobs. Right. Everyone's capable of moving.
Drew Lock is going to compete for the starting job.
By the way, let's kill the Giants later for hearing that.
Although Drew Lock said they told him that Daniel Jones is the starter.
I've got an opinion on that when we talk about it.
We're talking about it.
We're talking foosball. Well, I believe the Drew Lock situation, I believe it. He was probably told you're going to compete for the starting job. Because I believe the Giants are going to draft a quarterback. And it's not really going to matter who the starter is in 2024 because it's going to get the guy they draft ready for 2025. And the Giants' motivation is not to play Daniel Jones because if he gets hurt, they can't get out from under the contract. So wouldn't it perfect world be Drew Lock wins the job, starts, and then eventually the guy they draft takes over later on in the season rather than have Daniel Jones get hurt in week five, a catastrophic injury, and now they're stuck for the final 2 years of the contract. So I think Drew Lock is competing for it. Not so much to say he's better than Jones or we think we can win with this guy. It's who is going to be our stopgap for the next guy that comes and takes over the team. And you can't have it be Jones because if he gets hurt, we're screwed.
I think that the Giants are probably red hot at the Seahawks GM for saying that.
I don't know why that would be brought up.
Because he's probably getting ripped in Seattle. Why'd you let Drew Lock go? He's a good backup. And he said we couldn't tell him he was going to compete for the starter's job. It's Geno Smith's job.
But that's all he has to say, not that he was going to compete for the starting job.
Yeah, but
in New York.
I mean, people would put two and two together. Then
well, they'll put two and two together, but you don't have to help them.
That's true. 1-800-919-3776. You mentioned Kenny Pickett.
Sure.
A.K.A. Tiny Hands.
Well, that's not his A.K.A.
Well, here is Danny from Vero Beach by way of Long Island. Danny.
Yeah. Who's better than you, Danny?
First of all, I have to sadly report that the dream has died. My mother's bocce ball team was eliminated earlier today.
Are you kidding me?
Damn it!
Yes.
I didn't get
it. There was a little controversy, and I was almost going to have to take the field to then I realized everybody on the field was 80 years old, and I should probably just
what a good stay in my son, lane. Though, to get on a plane in Long Island to go see your mother play bocce ball.
Yes.
And your mom was legitimately playing in like a bocce ball tournament?
Yes.
You weren't there that day, told us?
She's all juiced
it's
up,
It's a three-month-long league. They have my mother was in the Wednesday morning division. You have to get out of your morning division to play the afternoon division, which you then play. It's everything you saw in Seinfeld and even more.
Wow.
They're all sleeping, and they'll be up shortly for the early bird special.
I took a walk around. True or false, your mom took the same stuff they gave Biden right before the State of the Union last week, got her all juiced up.
Peter, at 6 o'clock in the morning, it looked like Dawn of the Dead. Apparently the rule is you have to be up out of your bed doing some sort of exercising.
Let's get going.
When I asked my mother why, she said, we're all just so happy to open our eyes, we can't wait to see.
Wow.
They take attendance to see if they lost anybody. Oh, she's got a great sense of humor.
Now, do they party afterwards? I think with a thing like this, you should not get a party.
Listen, this life here consists of exercise, eating, and napping. We had a tremendous buffet lunch afterwards. Everyone is napping. We are going to Gloria Estefan's restaurant in Vero Beach to have the paella. Sorry, Mrs. Seinfeld, but Mrs. Costanza, but this is top-notch paella. All they do is exercise, eat, and sleep. But listen, the question is, can a man with very small hands successfully manage a Philly cheesesteak better than he manages a football?
You know, I got to tell you, Danny's bringing it more every week.
You're going to have to have sliders
instead.
First 58 years of my life was like being a Steeler fan during draft and free agencies, and was like, as Peter Rosenberg once said, being Jewish on Christmas. I didn't get any toys. Now, all of a sudden, Omar Khan steps in 2 years ago. We're making trades. We got the number one draft. We're stealing Broderick Jones. We're getting Joey Porter Jr. We're picking up Wilson. We're cutting. We're trading our number one receiver. My son, the chat going on my son's is a state of disbelief. We can't believe what's happening. This is not your father's Steelers anymore. This man is not sitting still. This is a full-fledged let's go for it right now. Now the best we could figure out is that Pickett threw a little I was going to say the wrong word. That would have been cut. He had a little tantrum, and he didn't want to be number two, and they traded him.
Really?
Maybe they like Mason Rudolph more.
No, Mason Rudolph already signed the Titans.
But it's odd.
Who's the backup?
We have no backup.
Wow. It's just odd because why would you want to back up the guy that's gone after a year and go to Philadelphia where God knows when he's ever going to start there?
They brought in an entirely new passing coordinating team. Three or four guys have been brought in. The offensive coordinator is new. I feel like small hands was really done a disservice by Canada. They stuck with Canada when everybody in the league was laughing at the Steelers' offense. And now with this defense they have right now, they need to put a quarterback on the field. It's a small window. You know, that defense, the only problem is with the Steelers is that we still have the fourth best quarterback in the AFC North.
Well, if we could just switch, yes, no matter
if
what
we could just switch divisions, if we could just get to the NFC South or, you know, maybe the AFC South, we could possibly get to the playoffs. But this division with this schedule,
I don't know how distant fourth you are behind Cleveland.
Chubb, think about the running games in this division.
I think you said quarterback though.
Well, everybody, the whole team, every squad.
Yeah,
the Cleveland defense, the Ravens.
Wilson could play to the level of Deshaun Watson, so I wouldn't say you're definitely fourth in that division. But, you know, as Peter just said, Zach Wilson is available.
That's right. You want him?
Well, listen, when I got the text message that we got Wilson, I said, as long as it's not Zach, and it better not be. Yeah, he was so great. Think about a year ago, the Jets were saying, he's so good, he's going to stand next to Aaron Rodgers if he doesn't run. Maybe, and he'll be so great, we're going to keep Zach. Now, nobody wants him, and their quarterback is running for vice president. And I heard T.J. Watt is going to be Secretary of the Interior.
Is that true?
If that happens. Yes.
Well, Robert Saleh will probably be Secretary of the Defense. Anyway, thank you, Danny. Tell your mother congratulations.
You'd rather take Luke Wilson at this point than Zach Wilson.
Did he ever get back to you?
Who?
Saleh?
Yeah, he did. He had a funny line.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
so he wasn't. So, again, you misinterpreted.
Well, I mean, I can only interpret things in real time. There's a Fordham shirt there.
There you go. Big Fordham guy.
That's right. Let's go
to Ramley is here.
Mike in Brooklyn. Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Mike.
Real quick, before I get to my Aaron Rodgers point that's been baking over here, I'd like to take the time out to thank you guys, because over the last 15 months, you guys have gotten me through moving in with my girlfriend, a cancer diagnosis, two surgeries, 6 months of chemotherapy, a month of physical therapy, a breakup, moving out, a whole bunch of things.
What the hell is going on?
A whole bunch of things. And
are you healthy now?
You're healthy?
You're healthy now?
I am good. I'm actually going to an appointment in a few minutes for a quick checkup. I have to see my doctor every 3 months for the next 2 years, but we're good. We are cancer free as of a few months ago.
God bless you.
So I got to ask though.
I know what you're going to ask, and I'm wondering too.
So after the whole cancer thing, you then you got a new lease on life and you broke up with her, or she said, I've had enough and broke up with you?
How did that go? We broke up just before I was going to start chemotherapy. So it's funny because I had said we were watching an episode of Curb. She wasn't a fan, and I was making her sit through it. And there was an episode where Larry breaks up with the young lady from Modern Family, and he goes, hey, if we don't work out through a breakup, I'm fantastic to break up with. I'm as easygoing as it is. You don't want to do this anymore, you just let me know. And I told her when that episode, I said, you know, I'm pretty much the same thing. You ever just don't want to do this anymore, you just let me know, and I have no problem just moving out, taking it in grace. And you know, that was kind of it. It was a tough, we only lived together for like 4 months, so it was a tough time there. For a little while.
So she took you up on it, and you said, I'm an easy breakup, and she was like, all right, cool, good.
Yeah, she said, you know, I don't want to go through the chemo and the throwing up and all that. Yeah, wow. It sounds like you made the right decision, Mike.
I think I moved out on a Monday, and I started chemo on Wednesday right after that. But once again, thank you guys so much.
We're on Team Mike.
The first time it's funny, I've been listening to you guys for so long. There's gray in my beard right now. When I started listening to you guys, there was no facial hair on my face.
So, 1947. Thank you, man. We're glad you're doing all right. Yes.
All right, what's your Rodgers hit?
Thank you. You know, the football gods, if you believe in those kind of things, could not have set it up any better. Not only was it another aging quarterback who was a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion, whose team didn't want him anymore, they even made it the same team as a big glaring red flag as to not go for this guy. And the Jets, once again, can't help themselves because they constantly find themselves in a cycle of getting a young quarterback, disparaging that young quarterback, and then looking for a quick bailout, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith or Brett Favre with Chad Pennington, or now Zach Wilson with Aaron Rodgers. we can sit here and admonish Zach as much as we would want, but the Jets have a track record of not making work with young quarterbacks. And if you need to look for a place for Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold is now in the Vikings, and San Francisco has a spot open for him. And we all know that they were interested in when we come out in the draft a few years ago. Well, and Seagan as well.
That's Mike, good stuff. Good luck with everything moving forward in your doctor's appointments. I can't sit here in good conscience.
No, not in good conscience.
And rip the Jets for getting Rodgers when we were on board.
Right.
Well, I mean, you knew what you were getting into. I don't think it
wasn't my top choice.
But I don't think we knew that he was going to be. I mean, we did. We used to call him a nozzle, but to this extent, I mean, we didn't have that feeling. But you know what? If we co-sign on it, then all we say it was a bad move. Now,
but I think there's two things that could be true. Was it the right move to get him? Of course it was. This is one of the best quarterbacks in football. You needed a quarterback, and you didn't have to sacrifice really that much to get him.
Right.
But they did seem to hand him over a lot of power. So could they have gotten him and not have...
And not handed him the keys?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, hey, welcome aboard. But, hey, listen, you're going to have to play by our rules here. And we don't want you going on McAfee. We don't want you spouting this, that, and the other thing. You're here to play quarterback of the New York Jets, and that's it. And it just seemed like they were just so excited to have him, they gave him the keys to the franchise. So... I'm going to stand by the fact that it was the right thing to get him, but did they go too far? Did they give him too much power? And I said it at the time that he sacrificed all that money. I said, you're making him the pseudo GM because he's going to want to have a say on where that money goes. So maybe it's just coincidence, maybe it's just a perfect storm, but it feels like they were maybe a little too happy to hand over the keys.
Sam Adams, the official beer of the Big East, and Truly Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Big East, are a proud supporter of the Big East broadcast, which you're in the middle of right now. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has done it again, winning the third consecutive Mercedes-Benz Best of the Best Dealer Recognition Award. In celebration, they're having a three-day sales event from now through tomorrow with special prizes with the purchase of a new vehicle when you RSVP. Visit their showroom in White Plains or explore online at mbwhiteplains.com. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's time now for the tournament update, driven by Nissan at 5:30 right across the street at MSG. St. John's takes on top-seeded UConn, followed by 7-seeded Providence against 3rd-seeded Marquette. So a really, really, really good doubleheader. That was the tournament update, driven by Nissan, coming at you with all of the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today. Speaking of March Madness... Drop Madness drops today at 5:45 on this show.
So there's not going to be a point guard.
Oh, there'll be a point guard.
Really?
We'll squeeze it in during E&M, but I won. I got, I have three already.
Oh, you won yesterday?
Yes, I won yesterday.
It was Don, I want to be honest with you. Of all the bad point guard allocation, it was the worst one.
Really?
He said something that we've all said on the show 1,000 times.
Oh, I hate that.
Why did we get into bed with Aaron Rodgers? Oh, now, blah,
Anthony,
blah, blah.
Anthony. Yeah, you know he can't do a thing for you, Anthony.
And Don, I thought I won the point guard. Can I tell you why?
Yeah,
and
I want to hear
maybe
your point.
You'll say I'm stupid. Michael basically said, why'd you get in bed with this guy? You know what you got. My argument was, how about now they finally man up a little bit? Because where else is this guy going? If he still wants to play in the NFL, this is the place he's going
to
play.
Be vice president.
But right. My point is, but that means he's leaving either way. So why not sit down with him and go, hey, we want you to play, but this act is finished.
But my answer was he would just walk away.
I don't think he
and
would.
And then they'd be without a quarterback.
I don't think he would.
I don't think he would.
But
he wants
the possibility
to play.
Exists.
He wants to finish the comeback from the injury. He has to
finish
the story.
Maybe they're starting that because we reported yesterday that they're – you know, thinking about dealing Lazard. Maybe that's the first time.
Wouldn't you love if that was like a mini punishment? Like they're like, you know what? We're going to get rid of a couple of these guys.
Stand up. Listen, I think Peter should have won.
Thank you, Don. I sent in an appeal. It was like the high school basketball game. I can't
do
anything.
Here.
But he know he.
You're listening to him tell you. I mean, what kind of
I got your.
You know what, Anthony? Do you have yesterday's point guard?
No,
from Michael?
We don't want to
hear.
No, I want to hear.
Here it was a good point.
I want to air it.
Do you have it, Anthony?
No.
Give him yesterday's point guard. If it was so good, it was so worth hearing again.
Show me something.
Let's hear it.
Anthony, shame on the Jets if they allow this nonsense to go on. Shame on them. Shame on them for everything that's gone on and not to rein this guy in. Shame on them for allowing him to spout his nonsense on Pat McAfee every week while he wasn't playing. Shame on them for allowing it to happen this year, too. And if this guy's going to run for vice president, to allow him to do that and still be the quarterback of the Jets, shame on them. But they have painted themselves in the corner. They can't do anything with this guy. They're afraid of him. They have handed him all the power. He has as much power as Woody Johnson. Because without him, the Jets are nothing. Because neither one of us, and Don the same way, we ever take away the greatness of Aaron Rodgers on the field. But there's so much noxious nonsense that comes along with him. That really, did you have to get in bed with this guy? There was no other choice. There was no other way to get a quarterback.
It's good point.
Come on.
But it's not fresh.
It's not fresh. That's not a fresh take.
That's a recycled take.
I thought my take was fresh.
Yeah.
This is the moment to say, we're done playing your reindeer games. Where else are you going to go?
But I won.
But overall, you could make the case in isolation that your point was better than his. But your point lost value because it's been rehashed.
All right,
fresh.
So the Beatles came together and played Hey Jude. You'd go, no. I've heard that before. Let's get a new song.
I love what you're saying. Hey, see, this is where you lose me. It was a good point, Michael. Hey Jude.
It was Hey Jude.
And by the way, Hey Jude wasn't even Hey Jude.
What?
I mean, Hey Jude.
Like Hey Jude?
It's not the song I want to hear. It's not the first song.
Really?
No.
But what Beatles the song do you want to hear? Now I'm right.
Let's hear.
Before Hey Jude?
Yeah.
I would rather hear In My Life. I would rather hear We Can Work It Out. I would rather hear...
All right.
Honestly, some of the just straight up mainstream classics. Well,
wait,
help! There are plenty. I'd rather hear Twist and Shout. I could go on and on.
This is where
Hey Jude. I don't want. It's Sleepy Time Bobos.
Wait a minute. Listen. Whenever you talk Beatles, you irritate me.
Why? What was wrong with those choices?
Because music is about preference. Yeah, you could like other songs besides Hey Jude, but people acknowledge Hey Jude. It's way better than the songs that you mentioned. Hey Jude is right up there. Hey Jude is one of their top three songs all time. Now, you could say I like other songs better, but from a popularity, from an important standpoint, whenever they come up with a top 100 Beatles songs, Hey Jude is always like in the top
three. But what I just said was that's what my take was. Hey Jude isn't even Hey Jude. It shouldn't be that. I'm not denying it is that. I'm saying it shouldn't be.
I'm going to say something.
Melodically, it's boring.
This might hurt
your feelings.
It is.
The whole ending?
This might hurt your feelings. Take Bear and go home.
Oh, my God.
Even Bear, I could see the Bear's face. I wish somebody owned me right now. Just today.
Wait, Don, do you really like Hey Jude more than In My Life?
Yes.
Really?
But I like In My Life. There's a lot of damn.
Like. It cuts my soul. In My Life,
I love
will have you weeping. Hey, Jude. Who is Jude? I don't
Jude
know.
Julian Lennon.
Julian Lennon.
But I don't know Jude. In My Life, you know Julian Lennon.
And his father broke up and hooked up with Yoko. And so Paul was trying to tell him, hey, Jude, don't get. No, he's trying to talk him off the ledge.
Right.
And that's great for Julian, but In My Life relates to everyone's life.
It's a great deal. You're also talking about a song that's up there. But don't just sit there and go, Hey Jude's not Hey Jude. No, Hey Jude's Hey Jude.
I don't think Hey Jude's Hey Jude.
Let's go to Scott and Queen. Scott.
And we can work it out? Come on, man.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Peter, Michael, great show. Love
Thank
you guys.
You. Thanks,
man.
Totally. I had to call in real quick. So I was actually there the day that the Pusik was created. I was roommates with Anthony.
Really?
Oh, my right. God.
All right, Scott. Scott, we've got
That's
a lot of
right.
questions.
Yeah, a lot of questions.
Because we've never seen Anthony without the Pusik.
And
so
we never will.
Is there an unsightly mole? Does he have a scar there? Why would you grow that monstrosity?
No, first of all, he looks fantastic, and I stand on that. Nothing on the face, no issues. Really, we were 19, and as most 19-year-olds, we could not grow full beards. I grew a goatee with a little mustache that was disconnected and looked horrid. I have pictures. I'm not going to send them. And he decided to forego that and went with just the chin. And I think it was a great decision. I think he looks fantastic.
Well, how do you think I look with the Pusik?
You know, Michael, I love it. I prefer you clean shaven, but this is a close second.
Now you like the Pusik more than you liked when Michael just had the full beard the other day?
That's a good question.
Wow.
I'll have to circle back.
So you have no answer as to why Anthony likes this, except for you're lying to us and saying that you think it looks good.
Listen, no, I'm not lying. It looks fantastic. I think he's
why
just
do you say
used
that?
To it, you know?
Anthony, Scott, we've been with Anthony for years. We're not used to it. It's hideous. It doesn't make sense. He's not prepubescent anymore. He could grow a full beard, and he's choosing to do this. You can't say
he
it
might
looks
be
good.
Able to. I can't confirm or deny that, but I think it's his style now. I think.
Oh
he
yeah, it's his thing. It's become his thing.
What? He's on TV 10 minutes a week when he steps in for E&M. Come on, he's okay.
So Anthony, talk to us. Can you grow a full beard now?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I've never really tried it.
Will you try?
Sure. Why not?
You'd consider it?
Yeah, it'll be considered.
You're going to take it under advisement.
His girlfriend loves it. My wife hates it.
Yeah, but Anthony, first of all, he's never said his girlfriend loves
it. I asked her. I met her.
And she said love?
She said, I like it.
Oh, see? Like is not love.
Very true,
Don. Yours is gray. He has a black thatch of glory.
Thanks, Scott, for making our Friday. We appreciate it. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Visit Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Proud member of the Pat V Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Big 5 o'clock hour from the Rutherford.
You kidding me?
And the unveiling of the Field of 64 for Drop Madness and then ENN as well. Hey, this is me, Michael K.
Hey,
you know
Michael.
That employee pricing is back at PC Richard & Son. You pay what their employees pay, not a penny more, on washers and dryers, refrigerators, ranges, all home appliances. Employee pricing on select Sealy mattresses, too. Plus, fast and free delivery. It's PC Richard & Son's way of saying thank you for supporting their local family-owned business. Employee pricing, going on now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.